This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can economic reforms fix the escalating political crisis in Hong Kong? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Hundreds of protesters are staging a sit-in outside the school of a teenager who was shot by police during violent clashes on Tuesday. The student was the first demonstrator in Hong Kong to be shot with a live round in almost 4 months of protests. He's said to be in stable condition today. The resentment, though, among young people is partly fueled by growing economic inequality, as the BBC's Karishma Viswani reports.
In a night market on the streets of Kowloon, I meet a group of young students. I heard about their fears for the future.
I want to change my family's life because in Hong Kong they have to work hard to pay the high rent or maybe the food price. Now I cannot do that.
Even when I graduate from the university, I will live with my family.
These issues aren't why young people are taking to the streets, but it has fueled their resentment of a system they feel has neglected them. Chan Wai Kung is a lecturer at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. He's published a report on job prospects and wages for young people in Hong Kong over the last 30 years. In that period of time, starting salaries for fresh graduates have largely stayed the same, while property prices have gone up tenfold.
Our economy is dominated by a handful of powerful families reluctant to invest in high-tech industry. Young people want to get into the high-tech industry. There are not a lot of good chances for them.
There's perhaps no better illustration of Hong Kong's housing crisis than if you wander through a public housing estate. This is one of the most expensive cities in the world to own a flat. More than half of Hong Kong's households can't afford to do that. These public housing estates were meant to be the solution, but there's simply not enough of them. Stanley Wong has joined me here to tell me why that's the case. As the former chairman of Hong Kong's Task Force on Land Supply, he was tasked with solving the housing crisis. He says there's more than enough land in Hong Kong. Developers hold most of it, but have no incentives to build public housing.
If they develop into residential housing on a private basis, they fetch 10 times as much. For public rental housing, they will then lower the profit to roughly about 5 times as much.
All of this has contributed to the highest inequality rate in Hong Kong in 45 years. The government now recognizes it needs to fix things, but it may be too little, too late. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Karishma Viswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Weak U.S. manufacturing data has added to concerns the global factory sector is struggling. Germany's DAX, France's CAC 40, and London's FTSE 100 are all down more than 1% today. Oil prices are little changed after Ecuador says it plans to withdraw from OPEC in January. It wants to remove production quotas and raise money for its struggling economy. And the British pound is weaker against the U.S. dollar as the U.K. prime minister prepares to offer his final Brexit proposal to the EU later today. In the last week or so, WeWork has lost its founder and chief executive, pulled plans for a stock market listing, and is reportedly reconsidering expansion plans in China. But the hits keep coming. Ratings firm Fitch downgraded the company's debt further into junk over its, quote, precarious liquidity position. So what does all this mean for WeWork's biggest shareholder, the Japanese billionaire Masayoshi-san, and his company SoftBank? The BBC's Roy Kellen-Jones reports.
He's the investor with the Midas touch, but every now and then everything Masayoshi Son touches turns not to gold but to dross. That happened after the first dot-com bubble burst, when his personal wealth is reported to have crashed by $70 billion. But during that bubble, he'd put $20 million into an obscure Chinese firm called Alibaba, which eventually turned into a $100 billion stake for his company, SoftBank. And SoftBank's outrageously ambitious Vision Fund appeared to be reshaping the technology world, taking funds from the Saudi government and investors including Apple, Qualcomm and Oracle's Larry Ellison, and inflating a second dot-com bubble with bets on the likes of DoorDash, Uber and WeWork. But now, as Son tries to get Vision Fund 2 off the ground, his touch seems to have deserted him again. A sceptical eye is being cast over Son's other investments, and the idea that tech firms can postpone profits indefinitely is going right out of fashion. Don't count him out yet. His record as a comeback king speaks for itself. But the next time Masayoshi Son makes a splashy bet, investors are as likely to say why as wow.
Rory Kaplan-Jones there. People are increasingly asking themselves how often they fly, and according to a new survey from Swiss bank UBS, travelers are turning their backs on air travel, the BBC's Joshua Thorpe explains.
So UBS have found that one in five people they surveyed have cut the number of flights they took over the last year because they're concerned about the impact of climate change. And UBS are saying that the expected growth in passenger numbers as a result could actually be halved if this trend carries on.
So these numbers could be pretty disruptive for the airline industry. Some airlines, like the discount carrier Ryanair, are already advertising that they're low carbon. So how seriously do you think these airlines will take this survey from UBS?
Yeah, I think the aviation industry probably will take this quite seriously. I mean, if you think about air travel, it's growing by about 4 to 5% every year. So effectively, it doubles every 15 years. And industry forecasts from plane makers such as Airbus and Boeing predict growth will continue at that rate until about 2035. So if the findings of these surveys are correct and growth will halve over the next few years, then that could really affect carriers such as Airbus and Boeing. In fact, UBS is saying that that could have cost them about $3 billion a year.
Joshua Thorpe reporting there. Finally, Harland & Wolff, the 158-year-old shipyard famous for building the Titanic, has narrowly avoided its own financial iceberg. After 9 weeks in limbo, a London-based energy company paid more than $7 million for the shipyard, saving 79 workers' jobs. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.